the Lord speaking to Job, letting Job know and making Job to understand that he is God, and that all of the reasoning of Job concerning his righteousness or the way that he feels about things is nothing in the sight of God. So it is when we get in the condition of Job that God always comes down to our rescue and always reproves us if we complain about our dwelling. Now, I think there's a place in every Christian's life to where they could complain if they wanted to. And they could say that they're like Job because they have problems. But the best thing to do is to feel the way that Job did after that God had reproved him and realize that God is everything and God knoweth everything and that God has control of everything and it works together for good to them that love the Lord. Now, speaking again concerning the things that we're doing here and why we're here and what we are to expect out of it, as I said, this is the 7th, 10th meeting that we have set, the 7th one that we have set with this 10th. And it has to do with a number of things. First of all, this is the place, as far as we know, where Brother Payne, J.P. Payne, daughter shot and killed her husband and shot her mother-in-law. That has to do with what has taken place because of the place of Brother Payne fits in Revelation. We spoke of it on other tapes. And also it's in this place that Joe Wu, the one that translated the faith tract into Chinese, this is the place where Joe Wu is living at this time. Now, I know that you don't understand that, but it relates back to some things we taught concerning Nixon over in China about the time that we sent the faith tract there, having it translated. He was there on a mission, and we spoke of the leader of China dying right at the time that the faith tract went all up to show the casting out of the red dragon. And of course, you know some of the things that have taken place around Bethlehem and what it has to do with when we speak of the red dragon being cast out. So then Monroe here actually is Justice Monroe over in Little Bethlehem. It all has to do with the same thing, and this being the very last one of the settings as far as the 7 in a sequence. It has to do with the end of the church ages, and it's at the end of the church ages that the red dragon goes out. And it's at that time that Christ comes in as the man-child. Whereas the red dragon has to do with the woman's perspective of it, and any time that the woman is in rule, then the red dragon is in rule, because as long as the woman is in rule, there is life coming forth by the issue of blood, which has to do with the red dragon because he's numbered with the blood life. And any time blood life continues, it means the red dragon, or the life that started from the fall, is continuing on. Alright, so then if this is the end of the church ages, if this has to do with the close out of the Gentile people, and most assuredly it does. If it does have to do with that, then there's something great on its way.
Amen.
Louisiana is known for its low morals. The French people have always been known for real low morals. Brother James can tell you this, Brother Thomas back here, and others that have been in France and different places. And it also has to do with the Statue of Liberty that came from France to the United States. But the close out of the Gentile age, God could not have picked a more fitting place than Louisiana. The morals of the people here would so fitly tie the close out of the Gentile people. This place is way below sea level, which also would have to do with it. They tell me that it's so low that in Louisiana, that in New Orleans, they have to bury the dead above the ground. I've seen it in vaults or whatever. The rain, the ground won't absorb the water because it's so low below sea level. And the refuge from the body of the people won't go into the earth properly as it ought to, and it fills the bayous. And they say that you can't hardly stand near the bayous because of the awful sin. Of course, you can tell some of it tonight. You probably can smell it outside. So when everything perfectly fits, the clothes out of the church ages. And not only that, having to do with Brother Payne, if we had time tonight to bring out some things concerning his life at sea, that his daughter has to do with that, where she took her life right about the time of the meeting down in Orlando. Now, another thing is, it's right here, Monroe, Louisiana, is right here just before we can go into the western part of the world. That is, the next stop that we were to make was to be Tucson, Arizona. That is, with the exception of Lubbock, Texas, where there's supposedly a woman college, that also has to do with the move. So there's a lot of great things that are taking place. There's been a series of the meetings under the tent, and as you can see tonight, it is perfectly typical to close out of the Gentile people, because we had several families last night. Brother Taylor, that follows the pattern that he does, he came up, he played the organ a little bit, and then he had prayer. That was on a Friday night, which was the closeout. And then on a Saturday night, which brings the Sabbath of the Jews, then here the people come from Monroe, and that's all that we have. Now, so there, it is such a beautiful setting that it is almost unbelievable for those that can understand and see. See, there's nobody here tonight other than our people, which signifies the end of the Gentile people. Because our people are not typical of the Gentile people. Our people are typical of the Jewish people. And when the true church of God, the true saints of God, begin to come into power and begin to move, immediately the Jewish people over in Israel or Palestine begins to rise up to take over the world. Don't forget this, that the Jews will naturally take over the world. We will spiritually take over the world, but they will naturally take over the world. In other words, they'll rise up as a great power and a great government, and they'll just do away with the Western world. See, with the closeout of the church ages, right here, we would say on the borderline, it has to do with the finishing of Brother Brown's ministry and the move of God that was way back there concerning the first move in 1900. It has to do with the closeout of it. It has to do with Jimmy Carter and the president and the things that are happening in the White House, the way it's being rejected, what the farmers did in rejecting Carter. All of this has to do with the closeout of the woman world, of the woman perspective. That means that with the closeout of the woman perspective, that she loses her power, she loses her right, she loses her authority, and the male perspective comes back in. As long as the woman perspective is in rule, it means that God has not fully been accepted in the church. But in the day when the woman loses her power and authority, then it signifies that her programs and different things, that is to say the church's programs and different things, have been done away with, and the preaching of the word, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, has been accepted in the church. All right. So then we see that a great thing is taking place. As long as the woman rules, the red dragon remains. Because as long as the perspective of the Western world is here, it means that children are still being born. And as long as children are still being born, that brings the bloodline in. So then, it means that grace continues, and the blood, where the life is in the blood, the red dragon, that which is sinned against God, is still in the presence of grace, which means in the presence of God. But with the casting out of the red dragon and the faith coming in, As we said concerning Jobu and concerning China, with this coming in, it means that the Western world is finished. That means that the move of God that was with Brother Brown is completely gone, finished. It is completely at an end. I just heard the other day that some people are taking his books and burning the books. So then it signifies that it's at an end. That perspective is over. The woman's perspective is over. And that means that if that is true, then we've come to the end of where children, having been born in the church, there will be a stopping of the birth of people into the kingdom of God. The doors will close to the Gentile people. People will not be born to the kingdom of God. And the whole thing will be finished and over. Because of the going out of the woman's perspective, that means that the end of it is here. No more travail, no more children born into the kingdom of God. The child having been born, the man child, having been caught up to the revelation of Christ, caught up to the throne of God, that means that the days of grace is over and the red dragon, which is the bloodline, goes out. A crooked and a perverse generation can no longer abide in the presence of God or have the days of grace. And so then with the going away of the woman perspective or the Western world, that means that Brother Brown's ministry is at an end in the sense that he is numbered with what we refer to as the ego nation. It is the ego message and it is the ego nation. Whereas this ministry has to do with millennium or the millennium government, which is the dove nation coming in. Because at the coming in of the millennium, it brings in the dove age, in that war will be studied no more. They'll beat their pruning hooks and all of this into plowshares and their swords and different things into something that they can raise crops with. And then peace will be there. There won't be any more war. Whereas in the eagle nation, the bird, the eagle, signifies war. So then with this being over, it indicates that the house of Solomon will be built, which relates back to little Bethlehem, the government there, and the revelation of Christ, and the move of God that is to swallow up all of the things. It's obvious that every other power of ministry has gradually gone down. From Brother Osmond's right on, all of those ministries were Trinity ministries, and they have gradually gone down, which indicates the woman and the veil. And this is one of the few ministries that's on the field in this way, that God's prospered, that is Jesus' name. Even Brother Terrell's ministry was a Trinity ministry. It came up from a Trinity ministry. It got its strength out of the Trinity churches, and then made the breach over to Jesus' name, that the other might come in. Seeing this, as we who are the people of Bethlehem, or we who are the sonship, seeing that we are coming up in the power, then it indicates that which is in the Western world is over and finished. If we are to fulfill the vision that Brother Johnny saw, where he saw Brother Brandon's people trying to get our people and yet our people being elevated higher, got their people, and that's to come to pass. Now that means that the next move is the Western move, in that we go to the Western world. It is not the move of the Western world, but it is the Eastern power moving into the Western world to bring a resurrection of that which was in the Western world, which has died and faded away. Amen. Like Brother Osmond, that's gone to sea. Brother Roberts, that's gone to sea. Billy Harvest, that's gone to sea. All of the Western perspective has gone to seed. It died out. It's laying there, and now it's waiting for the power of life, which is the Spirit, to enter into it. It means that the Western government has gone to seed. It's completely gone to seed. Jimmy Carter cannot succeed, nor any other Western leader. They will never succeed, because now is the hour of the Jewish people rising up and the Eastern government coming into power, that they may come to this which is dead and bring about a resurrection of this which is referred to as the Western world. So then we see by this that Israel is ready to come into power. And we'll hear more and more about Israel and the great things of Israel because he's ready to come into power. And this I say again, Israel, the Jew, will not be a spiritual move, but it'll be a natural move. They will naturally fight, they will naturally wage war, they will naturally take over the government, and naturally take over everything that's in the world. Naturally, they will do it. Because they have to do with the redemption of the body, which is the redeeming of the outer courts. The days of the Gentiles being finished, which is the church ages, brings back in the perspective of the Jew, and with that, it means that the church is free. She is free from all the evil powers through the church ages. She is free and ready to be raptured up into the presence of God. Now the woman goes into the wilderness, but the child goes up to the throne. So the church world will only wind up in a wilderness. And I believe that we can truthfully say at this time that the church world is in a wilderness. She don't know where she's going. She don't know what she's doing. She don't know where she comes from. She's just in a wilderness. She don't know what to believe anymore. But the child that has been born, the true believer, has been caught up to the mind of Christ, which is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see more of that later and find out as they get into a unity that they really have come together, are coming to the understanding of God, and will come together for the rapture, what we refer to as the rapture of the church. So then, that is a great thing that is taking place in these series of meetings. The Jewish power, natural power that is coming into power to take over the earth, will move rapidly in doing what God has ordained for them to do, and this which is spiritual will gradually begin to come up, and it will be recognized, but not in its fullness until Revelation 19 after the tribulation period. But it will be recognized in its fullness among those that are spiritual and those that are relative to what God is doing in the spirit. See, there's one great thing that the church seems to fail to understand. They're looking for a great outward manifestation of moving out into the world. See, but it's just exactly the opposite. God is calling us out of the world and drawing us away in a rapture into the spirit. We are withdrawing from the world, not going out into the world, but withdrawing from the world, that we might be elevated in the things of God and in the spiritual powers of God. So it is withdrawal rather than going out into the world. The Jewish people will go out into the world, and they will claim the victories in the world. And then Revelation 19, when the saints of God return from the Spirit, having withdrawn into the rapture secret places of God, when they come back from the Spirit, they will unite in Revelation 19 with the Jews and then take over the natural world. Then, of course, we'll have it forever and ever. Not that we wait until after the tribulation, so far as the kingdoms of this world becoming ours, because we do not do that. We, before the tribulation period, declare the kingdoms of this world to be the kingdoms of our God. If you'll read just prior to the tribulation period, that is a proclamation from heaven given by an angel, and it states that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. So then before the tribulation, it becomes the kingdoms of God. But the thing is, we don't possess the land, or we don't go out and take over our inheritance as far as the governmental powers until after Antichrist finishes his regime. But we have already come into power, already having been caught up to the throne. We already have the power and authority that God has given us, in that the world has become our kingdoms, in that all things are ours. Something is the great thing that is taking place and is being here in the close out of the Gentile age, and has been so perfect and so beautiful, every step, every stride of it, moving westward. Even though the meetings concerning Tucson really doesn't show until spring, Yet it does have to do with after the first of the year. We're closing out the church ages with this year, and that Brother Branham had predicted that this year would be the end, that he expected the bones to blast everything out of pieces. We're closing this year out. This is the close out of it. Just a few days, and the people will know that Brother Branham's prediction, the way that they understood it, or if he misunderstood it, that it is not to come to pass the way that they understand. And so then in a few days it will be all passed over and gone, and then the new year will bring about new things for God's people, new doings, and people will know that Brother Branham's ministry is over because it did not come to pass the way that they expected it to come to pass. Now, so that's a big statement, Brother Mike. It may still come to pass. It may still come to pass. That's true. I could be altogether wrong, but according to what I understand, it won't come to pass. Not that way at all. And yet, spiritually speaking, it has hit its mark just exactly the way that we said it would. Every step of it has come to pass just exactly the way that God revealed it to us. You know, we can look into the spiritual things of God and understand if we're willing to. If we're willing to learn, willing to walk with God, we can understand the things of God. God asked Job a lot of questions here as to how to the great wisdom of God. And he said, Job, do you know these answers? Job didn't know the answers, but sons of God do know the answers. A lot of things that he asked Job about, and Job couldn't answer. By the understanding of God, I could answer tonight. Now, so then we are living in an advanced state, an understanding time. God's working with us. God's blessing us right here in His presence now. God's blessing us. I felt the power of God mightily upon me today. Last night, yesterday, as a matter of fact, last night when Brother Owens and them came over, they came in late and I was up praying when they came up and I pulled the curtains back and Brother Owens saw it. He came over where I was and he said, have you heard about the tornado warnings for tonight? And winds up to 60 or 70 miles an hour, something like that. I said, no, I haven't heard about it. And the lightning was beginning to flash and the thunder roll and things was beginning to happen. And I prayed. Gracie got so tore up, she wanted to go back to where her mother was, and she jumped up, went back into the bed there with the mother and lay down there. And I began to pray, and I said, Susie, I said, you better go out here and tell George Jr. and tell Cynthia Morant and them, you know, about the danger. And I said, I'm going to pray. And I began to pray, and it probably wasn't 5 minutes as I began to talk to God after they said something about it. The Lord spoke to me and told me there was nothing to worry about. Everything would be fine. And I turned to Gracie. I said, there ain't a thing to worry about, winds or whatever, forget about it. It won't be nothing. And I went back and I told my wife, I said, there will not be any tornadoes tonight. And so then everything broke and went away. And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, said, you got it in your hands, whatever you want. And I said, God answered him back. I said, God, I've got control of it tonight. There won't be any tornadoes tonight. Amen. See, I believe in my heart that we have the power to do whatever we want to do. Whatever we want to do, we can do it. But we've got to believe it. I believe that with all my heart. Last night, when whatever was happening, I believed with all my heart. There was no doubt in my heart. I knew I had control of it in the name of Jesus. And so then, there's a great thing happened. After Brother Taylor came and prayed last night, and then the storm was supposed to come, and we just spoke it away. And I saw something in that. Because God spoke to my heart, and Brother Branham said the crash was coming. And God said, if you pray, I'll extend the time. And I prayed that God extended the time, and I declared that He extended it, and so He has. God has extended the time because of prayer. And God is doing something special for us. Now, I believe that God showed Brother Branham the bone. I believe his predictions was right. I believe that the end was 77. Now, I believe it like this. I believe that God showed Brother Branham the end by 77 and then the fireworks. But I don't believe that God was going to bring the fireworks in 77, but that 77 would bring the end, and then the fireworks. And Brother Branham just saw the end and then the fireworks. And it took it to be 77, whereas I believe in my heart But God extended it because He knew that I would pray and others would pray. And I believe that God extended it the same way He did with Jonah, when it was to be the end over there, when Jonah got to where he was going to prophesy. And yet God extended it with prayer and fasting as the people prayed for another 7 years, I believe it was. So that God does the same thing, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has done the same thing. So it is a wonderful thing to understand what God is doing and why that we are here in Louisiana the way that we are. Now, I haven't preached in Louisiana in many years. I preached a couple of times in Louisiana a number of years ago, and God blessed us. And I believe that before this meeting's over, He'll send some people out. He never has sent me anywhere, but what He didn't get any people to preach to. But I believe that God has done something especially in these first couple of nights concerning the thing that is to happen in the Western world. With that is to come, Brother Branham, that is the resurrection of the dead. Brother Branham being out of the Western world, all that having died out, his ministry died out, the branches of the trees dying out, everything going to seed the way that it did. Now then, there's to be a resurrection and a blossoming forth, not of the church world, for the church world is in the wilderness. Brother Branham being the church signified that when he led his people off into the desert of Arizona, which was the wilderness. And at his death, they went into the wilderness. They went into the wilderness because the man-child was caught up. To me, it's no strange thing that Brother Branham, while we were over in Tennessee, there having to do with the crossing of the Mississippi River, it's no little thing to me that it was there that the call was made from the Methodist Hospital where my brother Charles was dying to Brother Branham, who had to come out of the wilderness of Kentucky, because the church had gone into the wilderness, out of the wilderness of Kentucky to answer my call. And it was there that Brother Branham spoke to us. And Brother Branham also, during that period of time, was to go to Shreveport, Louisiana, and made the statements that Brother Pike said, if I had known when I went down to Jack Moore's, if I had known about your place, I would have come by there and said, the next time I come, I'll come by your place. And here we are right here, just a few miles away from Shreveport, Louisiana, the Tabernacle of Life, where Brother Branham ended it all. That was the end of his ministry there, on the wings of a snow-white dove. That ended it there as they sang and preached. And then he said, the next time I come, I'll come to your place. And I said, that's fine, Brother Branham. A double portion of what you got will do me. And with that, God has given unto us an understanding that has been so wonderful that I am thrilled to the bottom of my heart knowing what is taking place. But at any rate, I brought out some things the other night, and I'll try to hurry and say this. At any rate, something has happened. It is a true fact that in Dothan, Alabama, there where we use Brother Walden's chairs, that signified the closeout concerning Brother Walden. There where we was in the area where Brother Terrell's people was, it signified the closeout of Brother Terrell's ministry. And also having the platform that we have here completely redone, especially since we got here, it's went through about three different changes. It signifies Reuben the firstborn that failed, the weight cross, and the crossing over. That is the change. Brother Walden immediately, as far as I know, is going into a lawsuit that involves perhaps $1 million. Brother Terrell went into a lawsuit, as far as I know, that involved at least $50,000. Whereas if Brother Walden and Brother Terrell had to do with the end of the Law and the Prophets, then They are entangled by the law at this time, and the law has stopped both of them, principally speaking. And Brother Terrell was referred to as a prophet, the end of the prophets. Brother Walden, falling hard after Billy Graham, having his ministry for so long named the Hour of Deliverance, whereas Billy's was the Hour of Decision, changing it over to the sounds of revival. It indicates that the law and the prophets, Brother Walden being more like Moses with the celebrities, like Moses was down in Egypt there with Pharaoh and the celebrities, that end of it stopped with the law. The end of it stopped over here with Brother Terrell with the law, because Dothan had to do with the change and had to do with the crossing that was to come to its ultimate here in Monroe, Louisiana. That is to say that when they saw Jesus on the Mount Transfiguration, they said, let us build a Trinity. But see, the Trinity was at an end. That is, we'll build three tabernacles, but the Trinity was at an end because the sonship had come in. The Bible said that the promise was made unto Abraham and his seed, being the heir, and it was given, and they were kept under the law until the seed to whom the promise was made should come. And so when Jesus came, that was the seed to whom the promise was made. So then Calvary ended the law and the prophets. And Jesus just simply said, and that is the voice from heaven, spoke and said, this is the end of the law and the prophets. There will be redemption in none other name except my son Jesus. And by the blood atonement, so then from Calvary on, you'll have one tabernacle. God and his fullness will dwell in the body of Jesus Christ. No more Moses and Elijah. No more the prophets. So then, it is a true fact that this has to do with the crossing and with the change coming to Calvary. It means the end of the law and the prophets. And from now on, it will be one tabernacle, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the man child that's been called to the throne, and not the law and the prophets. Whoever has fallen from grace is under the law, so the law has continued. That's to you that would question me in your mind. The law certainly has continued in everyone that has not gone on with God. They that have fallen from grace is under the law and shall be judged by the law, in that sin is the transgression of the law, and you have to pay the penalty of sin because of your evils and wrongdoings. Therefore, you must fall from grace and be under the law. When grace is lifted, then the red dragon is personification. His people all will be under the law and judged by the law. And God will again bring the same thing that happened down in Egypt back again in the tribulation period as pouring out his wrath upon Antichrist. How do you understand what I'm saying tonight? All right, that's all I'm going to say. I didn't mean to get into so much. There's other things that we can say tonight that might be beneficial or might add to what we're saying, but it would take quite a while if I begin to pick up some of the additives and bring in some of the detail. So, principally speaking, I'm going to leave it like that, and I believe you that are spiritual understand what we're saying. The piano, whereas we have not had a piano, the piano coming in has a significance. The reason for it is because Brother Branton always favored the piano. He never cared for the organ. He never, as a rule, he never had an organ. He always had a piano. And the piano and the organ mates together. They work together. That all has to do with what part of the move of God is, like the Jews, and Cynthia has to do with another part of it, like the bride. And so then that's the reason why we're giving the piano here at Monroe. There's some things that's taking place, and I can see to some extent what the Lord is trying to do and trying to tell us, and I hope that you can too. All right, I want you to stand with me. You see how perfect the Lord worked that? You don't believe that I'm telling the truth. It couldn't have been more perfect, could it? Certainly glad to have our brother come tonight. This is the verified now. I've not had a chance to meet him, but my wife has spoken to him, and my son George Jr. has fellowshipped him. He's a very fine gentleman, and I'm sure the lady is equal to the same. I've not met her, but he said he was coming over to be with us, and I was just telling him last night we had a few people, but we didn't get started, so they left. So tonight, we got started, and of course, we're glad to have the brother out with us. There's another church, you understand, that is a good-sized church that's planning to try to be with us after Wednesday. One or two churches have made some commitments as to helping us and to standing with us in the revival. But I felt that these first two nights was to be exactly this way and in order. I felt last night that it would happen the way it did, and it did. And felt tonight that it would work out like this, and it did. So then my expectations for the other night should be equally as good. I'm trusting that they will. Let's sing a little chorus together, can't we? I am thrilled beyond the wildest dream and the wildest imagination. How could you help but be thrilled when God has taken you into the secret places? The Bible teaches that he that abideth under the shadow of the Almighty shall dwell in the secret place of the Most High.
Amen.
Now, could you be anything but greatly thrilled, knowing and understanding that God is with you to confirm everything that you say in his own way? I need thee, Jesus. I need thee. Please.